The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
First inning on the way, and a fly ball into right. This has hit a ton. It is back. It is out of here. First pitch of the ball game. It's 1-0 Milwaukee. Hit down the left field line. This is a problem. Back is Bowers, and it is up and gone. Peralta's 1-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. High fastball went up above the letters, and Ohtani's gone. Fly ball center field. Frelick is back onto the warning track. He's at the wall, leaping, and it's over the yellow line. A home run. Two-strike pitch to Vaughn. Swing and a miss. Yamamoto strikes out Vaughn, and the Dodgers have taken the first two games in the National League Championship Series.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Gotta admit, I'm going through it this morning, gang. I got the little one voice on the one side and the one voice on the other side, and they're sending me conflicting messages and sending me conflicting narratives. And I got the one guy over here who's really down this morning, really sad, really despondent. 5-1 the final, Dodgers Brewers. Dodgers take a 2-0 series lead. Now they head back to LA for, well, hopefully, three games. Fingers crossed, three games. And then I got the other side that's like, no, it's a long series. This Brewers team's had its backs against the wall all season long. They figured out ways when they were down in contests to rally back. They're upstart. They can do this, Jen. Don't get discouraged. And I got to be honest, right now, the other guy, Chew, is winning the conversation. The guy who's like,
he's winning with me, too. Yeah. I just call him Josh.
What an honor. He calls the little guy on his shoulder Josh.
He calls the little devil on his shoulder Josh.
Josh is the little devil. I think we knew. But I blame this all on Gabe.
What did I do?
It's a double blame. And
you called Yamamoto the weak link, and he probably pitched better than Snell.
He did not pitch better than Snell.
And I don't feel good.
He just pitched longer than Snell. He didn't pitch better than Snell.
Snell faced the minimum, right?
Yeah, Snell. I said he was the worst. So hopefully you can get to him. But he's also still really good. Like, I don't think I've made... I love how Chewy hears what he wants to hear 24 hours later.
Okay, now you're lashing out.
Why not? Big time lash out. Blake Snell had the 14th best postseason performance in the history of ever based on game score.
I don't want to go to what I say all the time with the salary cap, but it's like the Brewers need an all-star team. It's like, okay, if we had Woodruff, Burns, Peralta, okay, we got a shot. But when you just have Freddie...
I mean, the starting pitching injury certainly hurt, the way that Miz performed down the stretch and... You know, had to be, okay, can we trust this guy? Can we not trust this guy? Certainly hurts. Those are things that are tough to overcome.
Well, and I was saying this last night as we were recapping the game just amongst our family. I said, God, remember when we thought it would be Freddie and the Miz and Woodruff as the 1-2-3 lights out rotation for the postseason? Like that, at that moment, that felt like, we'll take all comers. Let's go. And obviously, as you mentioned, Miz, you know, had some challenges as the season went on, which we probably should have seen coming as a rookie in the league, sort of still figuring things out. Guys were going to get film on him. Guys were going to start you. And I know everybody's like, oh, you throw triple digits. You know, they got to just catch up to it. But this, you know, it's a big boy league. There are guys out there who can do that as well. But that's not what this is. The Brewers have been cobbling together the rotation, going with bullpen days, going with openers, just doing the best they can. And those guys are doing a really good job. Like, that's the thing. Like, they're doing a really good job, but they are outmanned here. They are outmatched from a pitching standpoint, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie was one pitch away from having a very good outing yesterday.
Quality start.
Unfortunately, pitch number 97 He didn't locate the fastball where he needed to, and Max Muncy hits it over the wall. If he gets out of that inning, you're going, yeah, six innings, two runs? I will take that from Freddie every single time, is what you're thinking, especially in a postseason game. But unfortunately, he didn't locate pitch number 97. And look, that didn't ultimately matter.
Correct. And I did convince myself of that last night as well. It's not as though the Max Muncy home run was the difference in the game. We will also have to talk about the offense. We also have to talk about where are the bats. You know, guys are hitting the ball hard. They're just hitting it in the infield. And then it's just an easy out. What was your take on the offense, Gabe?
Yeah, I think... So the difference to me, Chu, of why... Like, Snell was making guys look really dumb. Like, just look making him look foolish. Bad swings. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, it was pretty obvious to me that they came out the first time through going, hey, we got to be aggressive against Yamamoto. He's going to give you opportunities early in counts. We have to take advantage. I mean, obviously, Jackson Churio, first pitch of Yamamoto's outing, goes over the right field fence. And guys were going, okay, we got to be aggressive. But that wasn't resulting in hits, so the pitch count is down. Now they were kind of stuck between, all right, I want to be aggressive, but I want to take a pitch. Oh, crap, suddenly it's 0-2, and you just were kind of fighting that uphill battle the entire time. Like, there were, I don't know if there was a single mistake made by Blake Snell. Like, it just seemed like he spotted and dotted everything. There were opportunities with some of the pitches that Yamamoto made last night. The Brewers just couldn't take advantage. The offense is just 1 through 9 pretty lost.
I know they have nowhere else to go, Gabe, but it just, to me, it just doesn't feel like this is sustainable.
The bullpen stuff.
No, not that. Like, oh. Whoever starts the game goes an inning, and then the next guy comes in for four outs, and then the next guy comes in. I know there's really nothing else you
can
do.
That's the thing. I agree with you, Chu. I want to be like, hey, this isn't. It's not sustainable. You can't do this for the entirety of a 7-game series, but what else can they do? This is the hand they've been dealt.
I know, but I know we're not at that point yet, but does it come to a point where you just say, and I wanted to say it, Josh, but I can't, just bleep it, just throw Miz. To see what he does.
Well, but
leave him out there for 3-4 innings. The hell with it. Throw it. You know what I'm saying?
They need him in probably, I'm guessing, game 4. Maybe he goes game 3. Because even though they've gone with the starter, like, they still have somebody that has to get the majority of the outs. That's what they did in game 1, right? Priester ends up going 4, and then the bullpen has to cobble together the final 5. That's what they're going to have to do with Miz. I mean, and that's what they did with Miz in game 5. You know, he ended up going out there for 4 innings. And pitching really well. And the problem also with Miz is this is the most he's ever thrown.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's already, I mean, he sprinted past probably whatever innings limit they were hoping to keep him on, I'm assuming, based on what he threw last year. But they still need him now. And, you know, you don't want to blow his arm out, but you still need innings. And, yeah, it's not an ideal spot to be. I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, I'd like to say Snell, but it goes back before that. I mean, the last 4 games, you know, you get shut out by the Cubs, and even though you won game 5, you know, they hit 3 solo home runs. And that was the majority of the offense. It's not like they were constantly putting pressure on Chicago in game 5. So they ran into 3 pitches and hit them out of the ballpark and got really good pitching. But it's just been one of those things where, in baseball, you go through slumps, and unfortunately, they're going through a ton of them. Like Shohei. Ohtani, offensively right now, he stinks. Like, he's, this postseason, his batting average is worse than Christian Yelich's.
Yeah.
He has light years more strikeout. He's struck out 15 times in 34 at-bats. Like, Shohei's lost at the plate. But Mookie Betts isn't lost. Teoscar Hernandez isn't lost. And they're able to pick him up. You know, it just, again, it's one of those things in baseball where guys just don't see it very well for whatever reason. Something mechanically is just a hair off, and that can make all the difference from, you know, hitting a rollover ground ball to second to pulling one out of the ballpark.
It is crazy, though, that they're still in the series, right? I know they're facing this 2-game deficit, but it's still, it's funny because it feels like of all the moments for this entire season, vibes are at an all-time low. Like, Joshy, you were at the ballpark yesterday. I saw, obviously, the place went crazy after the home run. You know, first pitch home run, Jackson Churio. All right, here we go, you know? And then all of a sudden they even it up with the Hernandez home run. What was it like in the ballpark yesterday?
Absolutely electric to start. Everyone was fired up, ready to go. the Jackson home run, it just carried things over. And then what I feel like happened was we were, and the people around us were trying really hard to stay fired up, but there was so little happening in terms of getting a base runner, advancing a base runner, moving someone over that, you know, the crowd would get up, we'd get after it for like a big at bat or whatever.
3-2 count.
But then shortly after that, it was crickets because you just felt like, well, this guy is seemingly untouchable again. Their starting pitcher's going to handle this. And like many of the at bats weren't going as deep as you would like. You got bad chases. So the air was getting sucked out no matter how hard everyone in the stadium was trying to stay up.
They've had one at bat. Two plate appearances with a runner in scoring position in the first two games.
Right. And
so that's tough for the crowd to get behind when nobody is getting to second base.
Yeah, and the there was a Dodgers fan right next to me and behind me, and they're like, this place is so quiet. And it's like, well, yeah, you guys are
Shoving again. Like, what do you want?
Right, like, we're doing our best here, but if nobody's on base and there's no, like, big at-bats because – there's plenty of, we were up a lot more while we were pitching than we were on offense because nobody, because they were threatening a lot more than the Brewers were. And that was the simple result of it. And I'm not going to take anything away from it, but it was as quiet as a mid-July week, like a weekday game.
And it's tough because in my memory, very, very recently, I watched that game at Wrigley Field where the fans were sort of heckling Freddie Peralta on the, and they're closer. There's, you know, there's the logistical dynamics of Wrigley that sort of make it, you're kind of right on top of everybody. But we've never been able to create that at AmFam Field. I don't think AmFam Field is a hostile environment. I think, you know, maybe it's the Midwestern nice thing. Everybody at AmFam is just nice and they want to like give everybody a high five or a nux, you know, but like it doesn't ever feel like an intimidating place to play. And that's a whole nother conversation for another time. I want to ask you this morning, guys. On the YouTube stream this morning, I got people weighing in. I got Bill saying it's over, but I got Michael saying, no, we believe. Where are you? Are you it's over or are you we believe? Because, Joshy, your line last night, not going to lie, I'm feeling a little daunted.
Yeah.
Gave me a little chuckle, but it was also like, yeah, me too. I'm feeling a little daunted here, guys. I'm feeling a little daunted that this might be too much. This hill is too hard to climb, and the Brewers are, in fact, going to lose the NLCS. Where are you this morning? 800-990-3776. Gabe, I go to you first.
You got to go to L.A., and you got to win 2 out of 3. How many times did the Brewers take 2 out of 3 against really good teams all season long? But that's what you have to do. You got to go there. You got to win 2 out of 3 games to bring this series back to Milwaukee. That has to be the mentality. It's just like any other series that you tried to win 2 out of 3 games in. And I think that's what you have to do to force a game 6 back here on Monday night.
So are you in the middle then? Are you a...
No, this isn't over. The Dodgers are only halfway to their win total. Like, they got to win 4 games. This isn't a 3-game series. They got to win 4. Brewers can go to L.A. Turns out they won 3 games in L.A. earlier this year. They can go to L.A., win 2 there to send it back here.
Gabe
absolutely.
Gabe is a we believe.
Should we run this through our own daunted scale, much like the Seinfeld scale concern? We're undaunted, we're slightly daunted, or totally daunted.
Yes, we should put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. 800-990-3776. You can always get your reaction on the Carbless Talk and text line as well. Lots of folks already weighing in this morning. It's not over until the fat lady sings, but she is certainly warming up. That from Jay in the 262. Cubs fans thought that it was over after game 2, but it ain't over until it's over. That from Jim in the 262. You can say sweep again. That from Ryan from Maguanago. And of course, people are asking about Christian Yelich. We will talk about Christian Yelich as the show goes on. He was pretty candid yesterday after the game as well, saying, I stink. It's a bad time for me to stink, but I stink. We'll discuss that as the show rolls on. Go ahead, Chu.
Are the Dodgers the Kansas City Chiefs? Because the Spaniard, idiot of show, who's a St. Louis fan, said...
Idiot of show?
You were the idiot of show.
He's
a bigger idiot than me. He said the Brewers don't have a chance because the Dodgers just turn it on in the playoffs, which is kind of what we're looking at right now.
They were not healthy during the regular season.
The Dodgers just weren't healthy during the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, Snell only pitched the last, 6 weeks or so. basically. He had two starts in the beginning of the season, had shoulder problems,
yeah.
and then pitched the last 6 weeks of the season. You know, so for a big chunk of the season, guys that they needed weren't healthy.
Yeah, I don't know if they didn't didn't turn it on. They just weren't all systems go.
Yeah,
like
Shohei,
they are now.
Like Shohei, when Shohei starts,
yeah.
in game four, like he's going to go 5 or 6 innings. Mm-hmm. For a lot of the season, it was all right. You can go 1 or 2 here.
Yeah.
All right, maybe we'll let you go 3, and they were just slowly building him up so he'd be ready for the postseason.
Jen, I'm to answer your question. It's 90 degrees out, but the ocean is 61 degrees, and I really don't want to go in, but I'm just going to put a foot in and try and slowly get in there. Because Glasnow is good, man. Glasnow's
yeah,
better
Glasnow's
than
really
Yamamoto.
Good.
You know, so I'm putting a leg in. But
a leg in what?
I don't know if I'm going.
It's over?
In
or
a
leg
water?
In
what way?
Well, yeah, is the
yeah,
water
what is the water?
Stick a fork in you.
Oh,
I don't know if I want to go in. It's really hot, but the water's really cold. And no, I don't feel good. I don't. Look, they're the better
roundabout
team.
Way.
I'm sorry. They're the better team.
So
they're
you're
the
slightly
better team.
Daunted.
Slightly.
Sure.
I think he's daunted. It feels like that was a roundabout way of Chewy saying that he's daunted.
Does it? I'm still working my way through the metaphor,
yeah.
if I'm being honest.
I don't think he knew what he was doing. I think he's still working his way through the metaphor.
800-990-3776. Joshy is going to effort the poll. Are you daunted? Are you slightly daunted? Are you undaunted, Brewers fans, as they now face a 2-game deficit in the NLCS, and this series heads to L.A.? Gabe?
Looking for a newer, nicer used vehicle? The Ewald Automotive Group can help increase your purchase power. During their used car rate reduction sales event, shop 600 quality pre-owned vehicles with no money down and no payments until 2026. Interest rates are coming down, so let them try to improve your situation today. It costs nothing other than a few minutes of your time to check them out. So go to ewaldauto.com. Check out their locations, inventory, and more. You'll be glad you did. That's what my dad did. Went to ewaldauto.com. He's looking for a new truck. Then he contacted Ewald. Unfortunately, the truck he liked, it was popular. It went. But now he's working with Ewald to try to see if he can find that truck that is perfect for him in retirement. Same can happen for you. Go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it. But it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, Jen, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You can win big this October at Pottawatomie. Play Bird Bash. It's a game show for $50,000 in cash. Play with your Pottawatomie rewards card for entries, prize drawings on Thursday. Plus, your play also earns you a shot at the $300,000 December season finale. It is Bird Bash only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee.
I mean, they were both great. You know, both those pitchers were as dominant as two pitchers have been. You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us. Yeah.
Reaction rolling in this morning as people react to the Brewers being down 2 games in the NLCS to the Dodgers. And yes, it does feel like the starting pitcher situation has been the difference in this series for Milwaukee. Chef Ed saying, I'm dumbfounded. How did we forget how to hit? Robert in the 715 saying, silver lining, if the Brewers lose, it could be used as a salary cap argument. We will have that conversation this morning as well. And then you got Ken in the 920 who is still optimistic. He says, glad to be a new listener. 1981 playoffs, the Brewers lost 2 straight at home to the Yankees, went to the Big Apple, 1-2 before dropping the decisive Game 5. There is history there from 44 years ago, and that is Hank Aaron's number. You just never know. There is optimism out there. If you are optimistic, let us know. We're putting it on the poll this morning. Are you daunted? Are you undaunted? Are you slightly daunted now with what the Brewers are facing? Let's go out to the phone lines. Mo in Illinois has a take on the Brewers. Mo, where do you stand this morning? Daunted, undaunted, or slightly daunted?
Yeah, I don't even know if daunted is the right word. I'm just like numb at this point, you know, considering what they've done in the playoffs to me. So, I mean, it's over. Gabe, I appreciate the optimism. You know, I think a lot of people could use that this morning, but for me, I'm just more of a realist, and this Brewers team is done. They're cooked. I mean, look, the offense can't hit. Other than Vaughn, Churio, you know, I don't know who you could, and Contreras, who could you really trust consistently on offense? Our starting pitching rotation, it's Woodruff is a big loss right now. It really is. I mean, the Dodgers have a really good starting rotation. The way they're able to paint the pitches on the outside corners, inside, it's something I've never seen. And then top to bottom, they just have such a stacked lineup. So, yeah, I don't see us winning. We might win one game, maybe two, but I think the series is wrapped. And here's a cool little nugget. So I work with a doctor that was the head team physician for the White Sox, and he was really close to Andrew Vaughn. So they're really good friends. And he told me that Vaughn was not happy in Chicago at all. The clubhouse, you know, had a lot of things going on there that I'll keep private for now. But he told me that Vaughn is extremely happy in Milwaukee, and he would like to stay in Milwaukee long term. He feels like he found a home there, and he loves the clubhouse there. So I'm hoping Vaughn is a Milwaukee Brewer for a long time.
Hey, look at the silver lining that Mo is bringing this morning. Andrew Vaughn wants to remain a Brewer, guys. Joshy, does that make you feel better?
No. I mean, I'm happy, and I think there is a long-term future for him if they like want that to happen. But not going to really make it feel better, Donald.
Yeah, I would hope he would want to be here.
Why, is he a free agent?
No, I think they have control.
Yeah.
They do have control.
I'd imagine. He's still a pretty young player.
Okay.
800-990-3776. Johnny Raincloud is the voice of optimism this morning. That from Ryan in Milwaukee. Are you still Johnny Raincloud?
I mean, I was exactly right about the Packers last year, so I don't know how that's Raincloud. I'm giving you the truth.
Hey. We. It's me and you.
What are you, French now?
Wee. Linda weighing in. And I still believe in Euchre magic, but our bullpen has got to be exhausted. I am slightly daunted. Joshy, did you get that poll out into the world?
Oh, it's out there. It's not good. I could tell you that much.
A lot of daunted people out there.
Totally daunted was the way I phrased it. And the results are 69% nice.
Whoa, nice.
Anybody have the numbers on down 2-0 and coming back from that?
So in this specific situation, where the road team has won the first two, only three teams out of 27 have come back to win the series.
Okay.
So
not great.
The teams that have gone 24 of 27 have won in this situation, in the Dodgers situation. So teams have come back. It's not like, oh, this has never happened before situation.
Okay.
Does that make you feel better, Chu?
No.
Does it move you from totally daunted to slightly daunted, or are you slightly daunted, moving to undaunted?
It's just a combination of everything. You know, our horse went last night and lost, so now we got to go back to seven guys pitching in a game, coupled with they're not hitting the ball. No, I don't feel great. I really don't. The nice thing is the positive, Jen. Is it's on at 6 o'clock here, so I'll be able to watch.
Noah weighing in saying, you can't feel daunted if this is what you expected going in. Let's be honest, the Brewers weren't good against the Cubs either. 800-990-3776. Keep getting
it's a miracle they won three games. They just weren't good. They just weren't good. I guess it's a bleeping miracle they won that series.
Things to be optimistic about. Dear Matt Lord. N says, Bucks went down 0-2 in the finals and came back to win. We need the bats to show up, though. I am undaunted. Here's some other good news. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Talk a little bit about the NFL. We'll take a break from Brewers, and we'll be right back after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business. Top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and lifelong career support. It is not just a job, it's a career. Learn more at smart18.org and start building your future today. Always love catching up with our guy, Adam Schefter. Adam, I just want to be full disclosure with you this morning. We are a little daunted. We are a little down this morning because the Brewers dropped the game last night to the Dodgers. They are down now 0-2 in the series as it heads to L.A. We're working through it, though. I want to be honest with you. I just want to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into as you chat with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Oh, he's, I can hear him, but I can see him, but I can't hear him. Adam?
I don't know what happened there.
I see him talk. I see the lips are moving, but I can't hear anything. That's like a Meghan Trainor song, isn't it? Your lips are moving.
It worked just a second ago. That's not great. Adam, can you hear us? Okay. Well, let me work on this.
I mean, it's just par for the course, right? Like, all right, let's try to pivot off of the Brewers and making us depressed, and now our equipment's not working, and we can't even talk to Adam Schefter to talk about all things NFL. What else can go wrong?
Out of the funk.
We just have to have him be over there. Test, test, 1-2. Ugh.
Got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Could be the Pfister ghost. That ghost didn't do his job. That ghost at the Pfister sucks. Huh? No?
Okay, you're not helping. I know you're trying to help, but you're not helping. I did hear, though, that Teoscar Hernandez said that his wife won't stay at the Pfister. They're staying somewhere else. Adam, do we have you now, sir?
You tell me.
Hey!
Goodness, man. Something goes right.
I was on my laptop. I changed my phone, and that's the way it goes. So here we are.
All right.
Nice.
Did you catch any of that Brewers game last night, by the way?
Okay. Well, I thought we were... I thought the purpose was to not talk about this.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you guys, and hopefully you can rally here in L.A. and do the unexpected. I would imagine it's going to be tough to win on the road, huh?
Adam, I want to start by giving you credit. Before training camp, I asked you, give me a sleeper team that you really like, and you said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they are currently number one in the power rankings at your station, so they've got to be good. But with that, I'm down in Bucks country right now, and I'm hearing a lot of rumbling on how they want to trade for Trey Hendrickson. Have you heard anything?
No. That's the first I've heard of that. And, I think they're checking into some things. Like, you know, I spoke to them yesterday. I don't think anything's close in Tampa to happening. I think what happens here is as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, there is more and more noise. You know, if Cincinnati loses the next couple of games, maybe it would at that point make sense to trade Trey Hendrickson. But I think, you know, they're trying to make a push here, as unlikely as it seems. They brought in Joe Flacco. Like, they're not ready to punt on the season just yet. Now, if they lose the next couple of weeks, they play Pittsburgh Thursday night. I'm not sure they play after that. Yeah, then at that point in time, anything's possible, right? But I haven't heard that being a front and center item. We'll check, though.
Well, I know you told our friends over on Sportsman, like, how many moves do you think they're going to happen between now and the trade deadline? You expect it to be pretty active, right?
Yeah, well, last week I said 10 to 12, and there were three last week. and if we look back at the month of October leading up to the trade deadline in each of the last 3 years, there have been at least 18 trades in two of the last 3 years. It was 18, 14, and 18. We had three last week. To be perfectly frank, I'm surprised we didn't get any yesterday. I was bracing for a couple of trades. And then on the deadline day, there's always like four, five, six, seven moves that are made that day. So if we get next week two or three more and then seven that day, that would bring us to 13, which would still be below what it's been in recent years. But let's see what happens if there's anything left this week or next week. Before the trade deadline week, actually.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Okay, Matt LaFleur went on the record this week and said that there are some egregious calls that need to be called as far as Micah Parsons go. It looks like he's being manhandled out there. Some of it doesn't look legal. I got to be honest with you. Obviously, the concern is that it is limiting his ability to get to the quarterback. What type of recourse is there for a team like the Packers who feels like a guy? And again, it's not just fans' perception, right? You could say that the fans are out there, you know, grumbling about it. But you got Matt LaFleur saying there are some calls that are being missed that are egregious. Is there any course of action that a team has when that seems to be happening to one of their playmakers?
The only thing you could do is what they're doing. You complain about it publicly. You point it out to the league office. You send in tape to the league office and say, hey, here's the plays I'm talking about. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. He's held here. He's cut blocked there, whatever it would be that is illegal that they find. If it's so egregious, I'm sure they could send a tape and you ask for the league to pay attention to it. That I think that's about all you can do. I don't know what else you could do besides that, right? And I'd be working the officials a little bit in a polite, diplomatic way. I've never coached a game, but I would imagine you see coaches talking to officials all the time. And I would think that that's got to be a part of it, is making sure that you're making them aware to watch for this or watch for that, and hopefully you get some of those calls.
Adam, what's going on in Philly? Is it the injuries or is it the infighting behind closed doors?
Yeah, the funny thing is they have been off. They have not looked great. But they're also 4-2. They're 4-2. And like everybody acts like this falling. They're 4-2. They've won 20 of their last 22 games, including the Super Bowl last year. And I think that we're used to seeing them roll and hum at such an effective level that when they don't do that, you're like, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that they're a mortal team. They're a flawed team, like every team in the league. They've got issues they got to correct and address, and they haven't been able to do that so far. But I still think they'll be able to get things together. But clearly, like, the offense looks predictable. The offensive line's banged up. It's not getting the push it did. Defense has some flaws. Like, they have stuff, but every team's got stuff.
Mm-hmm. Our conversation with Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. We've been discussing with the Packers this week, Schefty, about how it seems like to us that Matthew Golden and Tucker Kraft are two big-time playmakers for them potentially, but aren't getting fed the ball. How many teams, and Matt LaFleur said, well, this is the way we do. We spread the ball out. But it seems like the really good teams go out of their way to make sure that guys have the ball. Just example, the Packers played the Cincinnati Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase had 10 receptions. Like, they go out of their way to make sure he's the first read, primary read. They feed him the football. Do you think the Packers' way is sustainable, or do they have to start kind of picking, hey, these are our best playmakers. We have to start feeding them the football?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, actually. I think you can do your way, but I think when certain guys get hot and certain guys start making plays, you want to put the football in their hands. I think they want to get that football to Tucker Kraft and Matthew. I don't think that's a secret, but they want to spread it around also. So I don't think it's a problem. Like, okay, so the Bengals are getting the ball to Ja'Marr Chase 10 times. How'd that work out there, Gabe?
Put a scare into the Packers, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they did. They did, but...
I just believe in getting the ball to your best playmakers. Like, this whole spreading it around thing, Adam, like, doesn't make sense to me when you have, like, Josh Jacobs is clearly their best running back. And they give him the ball 18 times. He had 5 more receptions. Like, that makes sense. He's one of your best players. Get him the football. But if you want to spread it around, then how come your second string running back isn't getting more touches? Like, it just seems like, oh, well, when we throw the ball, we want to spread it around. But with our running back, we just want to feed that guy the ball because he's clearly better.
I will say, as Josh Jacobs, as you know, as a roster on my fantasy team, I like the idea of throwing him the football in space and getting him.
Look, it was productive on Sunday,
right? Like that works. They haven't done that recently. They did it Sunday, and I think that's an effective weapon. So if they want to keep spreading it around to Josh Jacobs, the passing game,
you're all for it.
All for it.
Adam Schefter hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I got folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I believe it is our buddy Chef Ed, and wants to know, what's the cornerback market like right now? If the Packers were interested in going out and adding to that unit, maybe, you know, sharpening it up a little bit, is the cornerback market deep? Are you hearing anything out there?
Do we think that Green Bay needs a corner?
Wouldn't hurt.
I think the defense, again, we've talked about this here on the program. The defense looked like gangbusters in the first 2 weeks. We were saying Super Bowl or bust, you know, and they're going to ride this defense all the way to the championship. And yet the last few weeks, it has been a little bit more underwhelming. So I think They're just wondering if there's a way to maybe just tighten it up a little bit.
There are some quarterbacks that are available, like, Michael Carter of the Jets would be a guy that they might want to look at. The Jets traded for a corner from Tennessee, Brownlee, and he's kind of displaced Carter, so I could see Carter being moved now. But, you know, teams aren't generally getting rid of top-flight cornerbacks. Jair Alexander hasn't exactly found his footing yet in Baltimore. That'd be a name to watch. Michael Carter. So, you want Jair back?
No. no, no.
I wouldn't mind Jair back. I don't think the Packers want him back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Adam, did you see this week that Micah Parsons' brothers basically said that Hobbs, the cornerback, sucks? I don't know if you saw that. It's not a good thing. I mean, it's great for us, but I don't know about for a locker room.
But what happened?
Well, he does kind of suck. Yes,
it's been a rough start for Nate Hobbs in his time in Green Bay. We'll just put it that way.
Wait, and I just want to be clear on this because I wasn't here on Tuesday, but Micah Parsons' brother tweeted that Nate Hobbs stinks.
Correct.
Yes.
You follow that, Adam?
Yeah.
Correct. Shefty, when it comes to the league as a whole, right now it seems, I mean, again, you've got a couple of teams that only have one loss right now, but the teams that we were expecting to be dominant, teams like Philly, just have a couple inexplicable losses. Is this just kind of the new norm in the NFL as teams ease their way into the season? 17 games, everyone's trying to peak at the right time late in the season, and these early season losses really, teams, while that obviously bothers them, they're not going to be bothered too much in the big picture of losing a couple of games early.
You know, I think there are a lot of teams that you could see in the NFC. You know, early on, I thought it was top heavy, and it still may be. But you look in the East, Philly, I know they're flawed, but they're still a good team. Two guys in New York have totally changed the perception of the New York Giants. Like, I don't know if they could make a playoff run, but they look like the worst team in the league, and now they look like they actually can make a push for a playoff.
The crazy thing about the Giants is, so they beat the Chargers, they beat the Eagles, but in between there, they lost to the Saints.
Well, they turned over the football five times in that game on the road. So, and by the way, it's unfortunate, right, where you have a situation where if they had won that game, like we'd be talking about the Giants as this resurgent team. Mm-hmm. And I still – but the schedule's very tough. And they lost that game, and they lost early, so they're in a tough spot. But the point is, these two guys have provided such hope, Cam Scadabo and Jackson Dart. It's like it's a totally different feel in New York. It's crazy. Like they were irrelevant and bad, and now people are like, let's go see what they do in Denver this week with Jackson Dart and Cam Scadabo.
Are you putting the Bears in that same category, Adam?
They're interesting. Like, there's a lot of teams that are good. Like, in the NFC North, you can all of them are interesting. They're all good. They're all good. Right?
Yeah,
we hear the dings. The dings are going off.
Oh, boy.
I mean, something's Henderson, happening.
He's gone.
Well, no. Just a little things. I'll go if the Packers for a cornerback. They didn't just do that.
Okay. All right.
No, we appreciate that.
We appreciate you letting us know the latest in the Packers trade market.
All right, Adam, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. It does feel like we're at the point in the league where we're starting to figure out who teams are, but there's a lot of parity out there. So, you know, not time to give up on too many teams in the league right now. And that, of course, includes the Green Bay Packers. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Not to bring it back to this and not to make you depressed, but good luck to the Brew.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
Good luck to the Brewers. That's all.
All right. He is Adam Schefter, joins us once a week, and we really appreciate all the insight he brings us, Gabe.
Our conversations with Schefty brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com to book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just,
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
When it comes to your home, the smart play, of course, is trusting Gina, Della, and her team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month, score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. So many different customized options, so you're going to make sure you find the window that's perfect for you, your home, and your budget. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Credit to Joshy, who is doing his damnedest this morning to play some decent music to get vibes up as we are sort of down in the dumps given the current state of your Milwaukee Brewers. Headed to L.A., headed to California, where the series continues. Brewers down 0-2 to the Dodgers in the NLCS. Pat Murphy said yesterday about Christian Yelich, who is 0-4 his last 17 with 11 groundouts. He's getting pitched really, really tough. They're very aware of his abilities. It's a small sample size. I know it's critical because it's now, but I'm not worried that Yelly won't respond. I am. I'm a little bit worried about the performance we've seen from Christian Yelich during the postseason, and it isn't just this series, because you could sit there and go, well, Snell's really good, Yamamoto was really good, but he also struggled in the last series, guys. 0-13 in his last four games. I just mentioned the 0-17 number there. It's an extended slump right now for Christian Yelich, and I know there is an argument that you can't control when slumps come and when slumps go in Major League Baseball, but Yelich is supposed to be sort of the heartbeat of this team. You know, he is obviously the de facto leader. And I think as he goes, often the team goes, Gabe. What do you make of Christian Yelich's slump right now?
Yeah, it stinks. I mean, there's no way around it. But I had somebody tweet me last night, they need to hold Yelich accountable and bench him. Well, I don't think that's the answer either. Who do you want in there? You want Blake Perkins DHing? You want Andrew Lockridge? You want Andrew Lockridge DHing? Brandon Lockridge?
You took the two and you have smashed them together.
But I mean,
do you leave him at leadoff though?
I mean, he hasn't batted leadoff. He's been the last two games. He hasn't batted leadoff.
Yeah, but do you put him back there?
No, I don't put him.
Coming out of like a slump like this, doesn't it start a progression of like, all right, you're making good contact, but it's going at people.
Yeah.
Because he really hasn't made good contact.
No, and that's, right? Yes, correct. It's been a lot of just little choppers that have been staying in the infield. It's not like he's been hitting the ball, squaring it up, you know, having those 100-plus mile-an-hour off-the-bat type situations. That hasn't been, no, that's not what's been going on.
And look, I'm one of those people, too, who doesn't really pay a lot of attention to RBI because, well, your other guys have to be doing their job as well and getting on base in order for those numbers to jump. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, it's Yelich's fault that he doesn't have more RBI over this last stretch either because, you know, guys are not getting on base. We've talked about that already this morning. But there is something to be said for, in the past, he was injured. And he had the injury excuse, and I don't mean excuse, but explanation, if you will, for why he struggled, why his numbers weren't what we wanted them to be. But he's healthy now, you know? And so it's a big part of, there's going to be criticism hurled his way. Now, to his credit, he is handling it. I think he stood in front of his locker yesterday, and he kind of took the questions about him stinking. But this, to me, feels like a glaring issue that the Brewers are having right now offensively, that Christian Yelich cannot make contact.
You can't win the series without Yelly performing well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't come back if Christian Yelich is going to be 0-4. I mean, right now he's 0-7 for the series, but as you mentioned, he doesn't have a hit in the last four games. And I don't think it's a coincidence. The last four games is when the Brewers' offense has struggled a little bit. You need Yelly to be on the base pad because he's also one of those guys that can be a threat. I mean, but again, at the same time, they've had one at-bat with a runner in scoring position the last two games. Right. So it's not even just exclusive to Yelly. Yes, it stands out because he's one of your best offensive players. He had 29 home runs. He had over 100 driven in throughout the course of the season. So it stands out a little bit more when he's not performing, but it's team-wide right now. It's team-wide in this series.
But you gotta credit the pitching.
I mean, yeah.
And again, that's why I said to you, I'm willing to do that for this series, right? Yeah. Because we all think that, you know, Snell and Yamamoto basically pitched gloriously, but it extends further back as well, you know. And that's where I think we're sitting here going, okay, we need to lock in. I do think that there is a part also where, if he can make contact, if he can start getting on base, I think some of these other guys will do it as well. That's sort of how hits go in Major League Baseball. They kind of come in bunches. And so, again, I can't get my head around it. I can't figure out why. Are you seeing anything in his at-bats, Gabe, where you're like, oh, this is why?
I just don't think he's seeing it well right now. There's a little more chase out of him than we're typically used to seeing.
Is it technique? Because the only thing I can equate it to is the dropsies. And when you get the dropsies are like the shanks in golf, right? You don't know where the hell they come from, but the dropsies are more of a confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you almost forget how to catch a football.
Yeah, I don't know what to compare it to in football, Chew. That's the thing. I just don't think he's seeing the ball out of the pitcher's hand very well. And when you can't, when you're not seeing it well, it's tough to be ready and be able to react to what you need to react to. And that's why I kind of, again, I see it because it just seems like he's a hair late on everything. You know, just a tick off because he's probably not seeing it out of the hand really well. I guess if there's the silver lining here is the next two starters are right-handed. And that can, you know, maybe help you get out of the slump a little bit after seeing so many lefties in that Cubs series, seeing Blake Snell as a lefty in game one. I guess I'm hoping that the continued right-handed pitching can help him get out of the slump.
Okay. Let's hope.
Well, again, so going back to what I started with, Chew, Murphy says he's not worried that Yelly won't respond. Are you confident that Yelly will respond over these next couple of games? Because it's do or die. I mean, backs against the wall, all the cliches you want to throw at this situation, at this sucker. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen now, man.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that, yes, the next two games are against righties. Because like Gabe said, he just, some of his swings are like, dude, why are you swinging at that pitch?
Yeah, he's just not seeing it. He missed it by like a foot.
If you looked at Shohei last night, it's the same thing. It's like he just doesn't see it for whatever reason.
If I had an explanation, Chew, I would not be sitting in this chair. No. I would be in a dugout somewhere helping everybody that, hey, I'm not seeing it very well. Well, here's what you do to fix this problem.
It's like a virus, and then you take the complete opposite, the two, how do you say his name? The Paget, it's very French. The guy who hits nine for the Dodgers. Pages. Let's just call him Pages.
Pages. Andy Pages.
Yeah, it's Pages.
Definitely not French.
And then the guy before him with the glasses. I mean, they're hitting eight and nine, and they're hitting the ball.
Kike Hernandez.
Yes. They're unbelievable. It's 8-9. You should suck.
Well, what was the number I saw at one point? They said it on the broadcast yesterday. At one point, the bottom of the order was 8-15.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that was the final number because this was mid-game. When they said that, I was like, are you kidding me right now? The bottom of the Dodgers order was 8-15 at one point in the game. Look, I want to give credit where credit is due. The Brewers are not in the NLCS. They are not the best team in baseball throughout the regular season without Christian Yelich. I believe it was a month ago that he set some sort of record and drove in his 100th run of the 2025 season. That's an incredible milestone. So I don't want to sit here and be like, Christian Yelich is a bum. Obviously he's not, but he's picked a bad time. And again, picked is a poor choice of words because I don't think it's a conscious decision by Christian Yelich, but it's a bad time to be bad, as they say.
Pajes, by the way, Chewy, just for your record keeping, is Cuban.
Is he really? Could have swore that was French.
Well, you know, he started the show with the wee-wee-wee, you said.
Bring it a full circle.
Maybe it's just the theme, you know? You start the first hour with the French, you end the first hour with the French.
I took French, not very well, but I took it.
Yeah, but when you say you took a class, it means you basically just signed up for it, right? Like,
how often did you attend class?
I went from French to Latin, which was a big mistake.
I can't imagine you sitting through a Latin class.
I can't imagine anyone, even back in the day, being like, you know what would be a great language to learn?
Yeah.
Latin.
Yeah. You know what I settled on, finally?
German?
Spanish.
Oh.
You can't speak Spanish.
Que paso, estupido.
Yep, there.
I was your number one vato.
There
and
it
not
is.
Only that, I can roll the tongue with the R, so it was a good decision by myself.
Show me.
Huh?
Show me how you roll the R's with the tongue. We have enjoyed... Yeah. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects. As you might know, me and my husband are not the most handy people out there, but we do know when something is bigger than us. And when it is, we call our friends over at Professional Construction Inc. If you're thinking about building a new home, or maybe you've got a remodeling project that you need help with, the PCI team is here for you as well. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your projects. Learn more at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.